Good morning. Reminder that our Jonah study begins tomorrow. If you don't have a book and you'd like to get one today, please see me after the service. This is a Priscilla Shirer study, and if you have not signed up, you are welcome to sign up now. I can get you a book today. You can get a book tomorrow. We will meet it from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on every Monday evening for about 7 weeks. So please join us if you're interested in being a part of Jonah.
Our family team has two ministry opportunities they wanted to share with you this morning. Beginning with your insert in your bulletin. You may have noticed as you picked your bulletin up, there was an insert that says Family Team Survey for 2014. The family team is seeking out some information from you in regards to their ministry coming up starting in September. One specifically is the fellowship meal that meets on that gathers on Sunday night. So they're asking if you would take a few moments this morning or over the next week or two to fill this out. You can place it in the offering plate as it comes by or later on in the service, or you can drop it by the church office. You're more than welcome to give it to me or any of the staff members, and we will get those to the family team. But I encourage you to please fill this out and share the information in regards to what the family team can do starting in September. The second opportunity that we have sponsored by our family team is a night at the Burlington Royals. We are looking forward to an opportunity to gather at the ballpark. You all know I'm a huge baseball fan, so this is right up my alley, and it'll be for you too. We'll have a night where we'll go over there. We'll have a tent for our group, have a chance to enjoy all those wonderful baseball foods that you only get to eat every once in a while, but they'll have a buffet for us as well. But we're having a discount for our group. It's only $5 a person. Now, the one thing we need to know about this is who's coming, because they need to make sure they cook enough hot dogs and have enough hamburgers. So as you leave this morning, Susan Reinheimer will be outside in the foyer area for you to stop by and sign up, and she'll give you a ticket for this. She'll be out there this Sunday and next Sunday, so you can think about it. Talk to your family, invite your family and friends, whoever wants to come. We just need to have a good head count in the next couple weeks. So I encourage you to consider that. It'll be a wonderful opportunity to fellowship with a church family over the Burlington Royals Stadium. So you'll also notice there are many other announcements in your bulletin and on the Salmon Colored Sheet, the Ministry Highlight Sheet. We ask that you use that sheet as a resource for you this week, not just with the ministry opportunities coming up, but also the names listed there on a prayer list. There's a wonderful opportunity to use this in our prayer time as well. So take advantage of that resource that you have in your hands. As we gather here this morning, may we find comfort and direction in God's Word. Reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for our hymn of praise. It's in your hymn book, number 29. It'll also be on the screen. How majestic is your name? Please stand.
Oh, Would you bow with me? Majestic God, loving, merciful God, your love and your mercy never cease, fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise. On this summer morning, we come with thanksgiving for safe journeys, for children learning and growing and playing in Sunday school and vacation Bible school, for the first fruits from our summer gardens, and for new and old friends who surround us in this place of worship. Especially, O God, we give you thanks for this day in the life of this good church as we welcome Dr. Mason Smith and Kim and Wilson and Wesley to this community. May their presence be a blessing to this fellowship, and may this fellowship be a blessing to each of them. With thanksgiving for all that has been, and with anticipation for all that you will be doing among us in the future, we offer our worship and our service to you, remembering the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Welcome. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we give thanks in it. It is a special day, as are all days, but especially this one as we come to celebrate together. It's especially joyful for me. I've been invited as the transitional pastor, interim pastor, to come on this day that a lot of interims miss to celebrate with you the coming and calling of Dr. Mason Smith to this good church. And I am so glad to welcome each of you. We have some guests perhaps today, some of you who have been on vacation and are back. We are glad you are with us. If you are with us for the first time, especially, we would like to know of that we might welcome you in a better way, a more personal way. If you would find the little forms in your pew pockets that says for visitors or guests, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or hand it to an usher. We would appreciate knowing of your presence with us. At the conclusion of this and all of our services is a hymn of response. That might be a quiet response, a commitment to renew your faith that you make between you and God, or it might be a public profession of your faith. You may wish to come to unite with our church. If you've been coming here for some time and you feel that this is where you want to make your church home, we would be glad to receive you today. Whatever God lays upon your heart, however you're moved, we pray that you would respond in this time of service. One of the things we do occasionally here, and that the church, traditional church, has done over the years, is the passing of the peace, or we just call it greeting and saying howdy in North Carolina. The word shalom is more than the word peace. Jesus knew that word. It means a sense of well-being deep down inside, even though things may not be going perfectly, a sense of well-being. So, as we greet each other, I'll ask you to stand. You can say the word peace, or you can say howdy, or you can just nod. And if you don't want to shake hands because you have a cold, just put them behind your back and nod, and that's fine too. Would you stand for a time of greeting and say hello to each other?
Good morning. Please be seated. Our Vacation Bible School week was wonderful. We have so much to be thankful for. We had a total of 83 workers, crew members, and children. So I'd like for all of the people that were involved to come on up forward. Come on up here. Some of them are wearing their pretty shirts this morning. All children, all crew leaders, all people involved. Isn't this great? We had a wonderful week. Let's give them all a big hand. Our VBS had a mission project this week. We took up an offering each night to give to Allied Churches of Alamance County. We collected $145, so we're really thankful for that. And if you would like to contribute to our mission project, there's a green bucket, and it's in the hallway, so it's out there if you want to be a part of that. Well, this morning, we have two favorite songs from Vacation Bible School, and we would like to share them with you. So I'd like to invite all the workers to stay up here. You heard it a lot of times. You sang it, so go ahead and stay. The motions are fun, and they'll probably be on the screen, too. So if you would like to sing and do the motions as well, please do. This is All Around the World.
Thank you.
here. We have one more. We have one more favorite. This one's called Give It Away.
Get ready. Turn on your head.
I'm feeling good, good, good in a crazy way. God's love changed me more than I can say. Can't keep this in, gotta let it out. Gonna tell the whole world that your love is spinning me round and around. Yeah, it's turning me upside down. I can't believe the way you love me more than I can contain. I'm gonna turn around and give, give, give it away.
Appreciate them again. I'm so thankful for them. They worked all day and then came that evening to Vacation Bible School. I'm just so thankful for all of you. What a fun week. Okay. Let's stand and sing our offertory hymn. You are my all in all.
Oh.
Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we have been so blessed. Please thank you for all the blessings you've given us. This last year, as we've searched for our pastor, we have been so blessed with the many people who work here at the church that have held things together and done such an amazing job. We've had Bible school last week. So many children we reached. We also welcome our new pastor and his family into our family, which is an amazing group of people. Thank you for all of these blessings. Take our gifts that we give today and continue to bless those and share your word with others. Amen.
Of what we've done.
Thank you, Debbie, Claire, and Emily. What a wonderful way to reflect on what God does in our lives, and what a wonderful time to worship this day is. But I wanted to share with you another opportunity for our Prayer Revolution focus this morning and this week, another opportunity to gather in worship. During the middle of the week, we have met on Wednesday nights and Thursday mornings, having a mini worship service to kind of a recharge your battery as Sunday goes by and waiting for that next Sunday. I've had the great privilege of meeting with a group on Thursday mornings at 11:30 as we seek to worship God through prayer, through Bible study, through discussion and questions. The same thing has happened on Wednesday nights at 6:30, 6:45 here in the sanctuary. During the summertime, I did want to let you know that our prayer and praise time continues to meet on Thursday mornings. Our Wednesday night group is taking a little break, and they'll hopefully maybe start back in August. But we are meeting on Thursday mornings at 11:30 in the Epsi Summers classroom right down the hallway there. And I want to extend an invitation to you, because it is an opportunity to worship. It's not just a time of prayer meeting. It's a time of prayer and praise to seek how God continues to use us and challenge us. So this morning and this week, I encourage you to lift up that time of worship, that time of prayer, that time of praise that meets midweek. Let us pray. Father God, as we come to you this time, as we reflect on the ministry of prayer and praise and for the many years that this has taken place, we are just thankful that you continue to see growth and we grow spiritually closer to you. You nourish our souls during this time that meets on Wednesday nights or Thursday mornings. An opportunity to dive into your word, to ask questions that are difficult to answer, to reflect on thoughts that you give us, to pray for our church family, our church ministries, our opportunities out in the community. We're just so thankful for these times. Father God, may we as a congregation come together and to pray, and that's what prayer and praise is all about. I ask that you continue to bless these meetings, bless the Thursday morning meeting during the summertime. Continue to see us grow closer to you and draw closer in our community to see how you would have us serve. Father God, we're thankful for our time of study, our time of reflection, and most importantly, our time together with you. We lift up prayer and praise to you this morning. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
mean to run you all off.
I have to share this with you this morning. It's just too funny not to. But when I sent the information for the service, and between the time that I typed it and emailed it, and it finally arrived to David, somewhere along the line, a typo occurred. And what David received would be the opening scripture for my first Sunday with you was not Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, but Jeremiah 19. Let me read this to you. And David, thank you for telling me this, because it's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, picture yourself as David saying the new pastor on his first Sunday wants this to be the first scripture read. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, so that it can never be mended. In Topheth they shall bury until there are no more rooms to bury in. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, making this city like Topheth. And it goes on. That's... So that was not the first scripture. Today, as I stand here, I'm overwhelmed with joy. I have literally crossed an ocean to be here with you and to be a part of this congregation. And I am so thankful for all of the little steps that have led to this moment. You think about it, every step that each of us have taken our entire lives has led us into this room at this moment. And that's awesome. That's God. I'm thankful for the hospitality that so many of you shown to me and to my family and made us feel welcome and fed us and continue to feed us today, I'm told. And for all the smiles and the warmth and the prayers and the encouragement, especially around Wesley and his little accident, and all of those things add up to make a pastor feel at home. And that you cannot put a price tag on. Thank you so much for that. We are going to get to know each other well. You're stuck with me now. I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon, except for a couple of weeks when I'm gone. But other than that, you're stuck with me, and we'll get to know each other. I thank you in advance for your patience as I try to learn everyone's names and what your various roles are here in the church, and you'll have to figure me out as well. You have probably all kinds of questions about the new pastor. Will he pay attention to this ministry that's so important to me or to my family? Will he listen to counsel from the deacons and from others? And then the big question, this is the universal one, how long does he preach? I was a teenager in Charleston as a missionary, and I preached in this church, who will remain nameless, but when I stood in the pulpit, two green lights appeared in the balcony. I'm not making this up. Midway through the sermon, I noticed that they went off and two yellow lights came on. And as I was reaching a conclusion, but before I had arrived there, one big red light came on right in the middle. That was my sign to stop. It reminds me of, and you've probably heard this joke before, it's an old preacher joke. And the old preacher joke goes that there was a Baptist boy and a Catholic boy who became dear friends, and they wanted to share their experiences in worship with each other. So they made a plan. They would visit each other's churches. The first Sunday, they went to the Catholic service, and the little Catholic boy explained what this meant and what that meant, and the Baptist would say, now, what does it mean when you do the thing with your hands, and what's that water there for, and what's that little bell mean? And the Catholic explained everything. But then the next Sunday, they went to the Baptist church. And the same way, the Catholic boy was so curious. What does that mean? And why are they doing that? And what is that about? And then they got to the time of the sermon, and the pastor very dramatically reached up and took off his wristwatch and laid it there on the pulpit. And the Catholic boy said, what does that mean? And the little Baptist just shook his head and said, not a thing. Not a thing. I tell you all of that to give you a sense of who I am in the pulpit. I've never been accused of being long-winded. So I say what the Lord gives me to say, and I sit down, and if you like that, you'll love me. If you don't, tough, I'll pray for you. And saying all of that, let's go to the Lord together in prayer as we approach His Word. Lord, in this moment, here in this space, we have all come by many roads. Many journeys of life have led us here. Some of us have grown up in this place. For others, this is the first time we've ever been here. But you are timeless. And before the world began, you knew this moment. And you've had plans for us. Plans for good and not for harm. A message, a word for us to hear. Oh Lord, give us open minds and open hearts and open ears to hear your word clearly. Give us the faith and the love and the courage to obey. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I would define myself as a beach bum at heart. I love to go to the edge of the ocean and, as I say, just marinate in that. By show of hands, how many of you would also say you love to go to the beach? A couple of you. Keep those hands up. Let's say have you at least been to the beach before? Raise your hand. Some of you. You can put your hands down now, class. And some of you have just returned from the beach. It's that time of year. Well, I want to use the ocean for just a moment to give you something that I think will help as a metaphor at this very moment in the life of First Baptist Church. It's an image that I want you to hang on to remember as you enter into your team meetings, as you go to deacon meetings, as you go to teach or lead, as you come into this place from Sunday to Sunday. Let this be the image that you are governed by. Now let me be the narrator. Just imagine there you are at the edge of the ocean. You can hear the sounds of the waves crashing in on the sand, wave after wave. It's not a threatening sound, but one that soothes you. It's peaceful. You can smell the salt air, that wonderful, unique aroma of the ocean filling your senses. The sun is warm on your body. Did you remember suntan lotion? Yes. You can hear the seagulls making that silly little song that they make. You feel the sand under your toes and you begin to walk towards the water, and the dry sand turns wet and the wet sand turns into waves, and you wade out deeper, maybe to your knees. Should you go a little further? You do. And you wade out to your waist and maybe further, but there you are, in the water, in the waves, the wonderful wet waves, they're lifting you up and down. Now ask yourself this: which way are you facing right now? See, I have made a lifetime study of this, that there are two types of beachgoers. There are those beachgoers who stand with their backs to the waves, their backs to the ocean, and their gaze is fixed on the familiar shores. They're looking at the big dunes of sand and the seagrass, and they're keeping an eye on their beach blanket, and their flip-flops are still there. The waves crash on them and they enjoy it, but they're looking to where they came from. Then there's this other type. They stand within the waves with their back to the shore, and they're looking out. They're looking as far as they can look, but they still can't look at it all. It's captured their imagination, that unseen horizon. What's out there? In their imagination, they wonder, if I just started swimming right now, how far would I go? If I got in a boat, where would it take me? What kinds of lands are there out there that I cannot even see? What kinds of creatures and mysteries are in the deep. But then there's another person who's even wiser than the two. They stand and enjoy looking out at the horizon, the great ocean before them, but every now and then they glance back at the shore to make sure they haven't gotten too far out, to make sure they haven't drifted too far to this direction or to that direction, to make sure their flip-flops are still there. As we stand in this moment of transition, I think there's something there about that third way that makes sense for a church like First Baptist. As we approach all this newness, there's a lot of these thoughts swirling around in our head and a lot of memories about previous things and previous days and days gone by and wonderments about what's coming tomorrow. And we can approach this moment in a lot of different ways, with our backs to the future, focused entirely on the past, or focused entirely on the future and forget the past, it's gone. Or perhaps we could be wise like that third person, with our gaze and our vision focused on the great ocean of hope before us, where God is taking us as a people, as a church, as the body of Christ, where he's leading us out beyond the breakers, out beyond the swells, but never getting too far away from our history, from our roots, from the shores of our past. In this moment of transition, things are changing for us. Mark has moved on. God has called him to a new congregation. And before him, another pastor was called away, all the way back to the first, and even beyond that, into the mother church. The interim period has come, has been fruitful, and now comes to a close. And beyond that, churches throughout the United States are struggling with transition of leadership. The matriarchs and the patriarchs of most churches are long gone to the Lord and are in the kingdom. It creates fear and anxiety. Who's next? Who's coming to lead? Who's filling the gaps? Likewise, those who are in leadership now, some are beginning to think about retiring from their service. New faces begin to appear. Who is that deacon anyway? Where did they come from? Who's teaching? Who is that teaching the children? And all of this sense of shifting and changing can create a lot of hope, a lot of excitement. And looking to the past can do the same, but it can also create fear, can't it? Worry, doubt. And sometimes the shores of our history as a church can even hold us back from experiencing the full depth of God's plans, those good plans that Jeremiah spoke of. It can do this both from positive memories of history and negative memories of history. Sometimes we are so fixated on the good old days, we forget that they weren't always so good, were they? Sometimes we become so obsessed with the way things used to be done. The way that leader did it was so wonderful. Hopefully that will never change and it will continue on and on forever throughout all time. And that can become a kind of trap, can't it? A kind of trick, if you will, to where we never move forward because we can never get out of our history. I know a church that in its heyday, they would have 500-600 people in worship. And like almost every other church in North America, over 50 years, that declined and declined and declined. You know the story. You've seen it in other churches. To the point where they were at death's bed as a congregation. And yet there was a rebirth, a revival, a renewed sense of energy, and things changed, things stabilized. But you know they could never enjoy it because it still was not the way it used to be. That's a kind of trap. Likewise, those negative experiences that we might have had in church. Maybe a pastor said something or did something or didn't say something or didn't do something and it hurt us. Doesn't have to even be from within this own congregation. Many of you are coming to Elon from places all over. Maybe there was something, a doctrine or a teaching that was hurtful. Maybe there was some policy or some action of a church somewhere that wounded you. This happens so often in today's world that we've even created a category. You've heard of the unchurched? Now we are living in the generations of the post-church. That means that they came to the church, they were hurt or disillusioned or wounded in some way, and they left the church. That's a kind of negative history that can hold us back. And so, sitting there at this moment, this climactic moment of change, we have to look ahead also, don't we? To where God is taking us, where God is leading us, where God is shaping us and changing us. Things are changing. The world is changing. And so too the church, even our church, is changing. But I like that third person who is wise enough to keep an eye on the past, to celebrate, to cherish, to honor the history, to let that history shape us not in fearful ways or in stifling ways, but in creative ways. In inspiring ways. As we come to this scripture for today, the writer of Hebrews strikes me as someone who was very much concerned about the future of Christianity. Where was all of this going to go? What was going to happen to the gospel, to the ministry of the church, to the ministry of Christ? You see, this is still at a moment where it may have been somewhat unclear to some of those faithful church fathers, those apostles, those early leaders of this thing we call church. And it's clear to me that the writer of Hebrews is thinking about this and has an aim to offer instruction and hope and insight to keep the gospel going. And his hope and his trust is not simply in the writings or in his own strength, but in Christ. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, he must have been an athlete. He uses this image of a runner running the race set before him, running ahead. He knows that the key is to move forward, to have a vision on the beyond, the next horizon. And he writes this, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured so much hostility against himself for sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. There is a world of messages in those few verses. Tomes have been written throughout the ages of Christianity on these verses. Now, this morning we don't have time for a tomb. But I think we need to wade into these waters a little more deeply. Think about where he begins. The first thing in his mind is the shore, the sands of history. He names this great cloud of witnesses. What's he referring to? He's speaking about, in terms of running the race, who is in the stands? Who fills the arena? Who's cheering, go, go, go? And he named just one chapter earlier people like Abraham, Moses, Isaac and Jacob, even a prostitute named Rahab. These are the heroes of the faith of the Old Testament. Here, firmly rooted in the midst of the New Testament, he is championing and celebrating and pointing back to that great cloud that's come before us, much like we might do today. I can see in your faces even, you're pondering names, you're envisioning particular faces of people who impacted your life, who have shaped you and who have shaped this very church. We have to remember them. They're the ones cheering us on because they have an invested interest, don't they? They want to see what they began long ago continue and indeed grow. Now, I don't know Mark very well, but I can promise you he is cheering for you. Dennis is cheering for you. Pastors all the way back to the beginning are cheering for you, as are those patriarchs and matriarchs who were there on that first Sunday ever in the history of this church. And you know what they're saying? Go. Run. They're not saying back up. They're not saying stand still. They're saying go, 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 and run. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so closely clings, or maybe your translation talks about entangles us. You know, I have found, and I have not gone through as many of these types of transitions as some in this room have, but I find that at these moments of opportunity and hope and looking to the future, there is an equal measure of potential for sin. Entanglements. Entanglements like power plays, controllingness, manipulation. All of those things are real live human aspects of this thing we call church. Sometimes we can be very selfish. Sometimes we can think that our time matters more than someone else's. Sometimes we can be very sensitive and thin-skinned when things don't go the way we in our mind know they must go. The writer of Hebrews would say, chill out. Relax. Loosen up all of that that's binding to us. Be free. Anyone who's ever run knows that the worst thing you could have is entanglements. I remember very vividly running as a child on the playground with a shoe untied and one lace catching upon another, and then there was the taste of grass. Fell. And so churches can fall in moments like this, even. He says, run with perseverance, what? The race that is set before us. Anybody who's ever ran track, they know that you stay in your lane, don't you? You don't run in this guy's lane or this woman's lane. You run in the lane set before you. Jesus has painted the lines on the track. So it's not a call for us to just do something as a church, or to change simply for the sake of change, or to introduce something just because it was working here or working there, or it's become quite popular, you know. That might be a lane for some other congregation, but for us it's to seek the direction that Christ has outlined for us. Not my direction, not even your direction, but his. He sets the track. And then this is an obvious one to me, and yet how often do I forget it? Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. That great cloud of witnesses that came before us here in this very church, why are they so great? Not great by their own strength, not great by their own power, but great because of Christ shining through them and in them. Christ is the author not any one person. And then he says and reminds us that what is this image of Christ that we are given but an image of a servant? Not of a conqueror, not of one breaking cities as that other Jeremiah passage spoke of, but as a humble, simple servant. And then this last line, so that we may not grow weary or lose heart. I don't know if you've ever run a race before, but even if you've ever just gotten up to go for a jog for your own health, or even just a walk, you know that this very physical activity, believe it or not, is a slave to the mental activity. The 90% of it is mental. How often have you said, it's too early, it's too late, it's too busy, it's too relaxed, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too wet, it's too something? That's the mental game. Often when we do get out for a walk or a hike or a bike ride or a run, the only reason we ever stop is mental. We convince ourselves to quit. You know, you may not tell right now, but I used to run track about 30 pounds ago. And I ran in high school and in college. But would you know, I never won a single race. A lot of second places. A lot of did your best thirds. But never once did I win a race. And it never bothered me except for one. The one race I lost that haunts me was in high school. I was out in front running the mile. I was feeling good. Legs had lots of spring in them. Lungs full of air. Heart rate good. Making a good pace, a record pace. I was noticing on my watch, wow, you're doing great. And I knew who all the runners were. And I knew I could beat them. See, the really fast guys were not there that day. But then there came this person I didn't even know. And they just walked right past me. Just flying, taking the lead, nearly lapping even. And in my mind, tricks began to play. And I began to think, well, it's hopeless. It's over. Now, this is it. And I slowed down. And I lost. I lost. That's that mental game. The same thing can happen in the life of a church. Things don't go exactly right. We begin to slow down. Things become difficult and heavy. Maybe some other churches are going faster. And we begin to lose heart. We lose heart. We grow weary. Hebrews says, no, don't allow that to define your life. Do not allow that to define your future, but only the example and the leadership of Christ leading us out towards the future, beyond the breakers, even beyond the swells, towards that unseen, unknown horizon. And there Christ is waiting for us, deep in the waters. As we begin this ministry together, we are in it together. And it calls upon all of us to keep that image in our minds, to live it, to honor the past, but to move forward together. Not under my leadership or David's leadership or Laura's leadership or the leadership of the deacons, but the leadership of Christ, our Lord and Savior. To Him be the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. I would invite you now to respond to God's word together. This song that we close with, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, hymn number 320. It was written in the 20s by a person who was struggling with calling and direction and the future. And in that process, realized the need to give up a career and enter into missions. And this was what captured that feeling that they were experiencing. That it's not about all these other things. It's simply about keeping our vision on Christ. Would you stand together as we respond? May the Lord of the sea call you come. Come into the waters of life. Swim out into the mission of the church to be the people of Christ for all nations. May the Lord give you the courage and the strength to come. May the Lord give you the passion and the heart to come to be a part of this wonderful ministry. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.